Praise the Lord. It's wonderful to be with you at this time of the year and for this wonderful transition that is taking place in this house. We are thrilled at what God is doing both here locally as well as in the nations. And what is happening is this change is really the mobilization of this church in a stronger way into the nations, and I believe that's going to be an important step. In a few minutes, we will do the ordination part of this meeting for the pastors. But before that, I want to get into the Word of God to just lay a foundation. And funny enough, I'm not actually going to preach on ordination, which is unlike me, because I normally, whatever we do, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. But what I want to speak on is really about generosity. And if I had to give this a title, it would be too long to put on a CD, but it would be, don't budget your life when it comes to God. Amen. Don't budget your life when it comes to God. Turn with me in your Bibles, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 11. We're going to read verses 24 and 25. Unfortunately, we're going to do quite a bit of, we're going to do quite a bit of Bible reading. Normally, I have my computer and I just go through and just quote it for you, but I want you to see these verses. Proverbs 11, 24 and 25, it says, "There is one who scatters yet increases more, and there is one who withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty. The generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself." I love the Message translation. It goes something like this: "The world of the generous gets larger and larger. The world of the generous gets larger, larger and larger, and the world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. The one who blesses others is abundantly blessed, and those who help others will themselves be helped." How many of you want your world enlarged? Hallelujah. And the way to an enlarged impact upon this generation is to live from the generosity of the nature of God that is resident within you. God created us to be like Him. And God is a very wealthy God, and He's a very generous God, and we are meant to live out of that God generosity. Go with me in your Bibles now to 2 Chronicles chapter 9. This is about the Queen of Sheba. And in verse 1, it says, "Now when the Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon, she came to Jerusalem to test Solomon with hard questions, having a very great retinue, camels and boar spices, gold in abundance and precious stones. And when she came to Solomon, she spoke with him about all that was in her heart." Now, the Bible says that a man's gift makes way for him. No one was ever to appear before a dignitary empty-handed. Even recently, President Obama went to England and he took an iPod for the Queen of England. Normally, when a representative of a government goes to another government or empire, they are to take something of the wealth of that nation and deliver it to them. This is a common practice that has been for eons of time. That's why Abraham gave a tithe to Melchizedek. You'd never appear before a king empty-handed. And so the Queen of Sheba wanted to draw from the wisdom and from the gift of God resident in Solomon. So she made this long journey to go visit with him, and in preparation, she made sure that there was this camel load of gold and precious stones and spices in abundance. And I was thinking about that. The last thing on her mind was that she would give too much. What was on her mind is, let me not insult Solomon. Let me make sure that I give him from the abundance of the wealth of my kingdom. Make sure that he gets the best that we have. She was not thinking in any way, how can I cut this short? She did not want to embarrass herself or her kingdom in any way. She wanted to make sure that what she gave would represent who she was. And so she came with this exceeding generosity to Solomon. And I love verses 6. However, I did not believe their words until I came and saw with my own eyes. And indeed, the half of the greatness of your wisdom was not told to me. You exceed the fame of which I heard. And then she goes on and she blesses Solomon and she blesses God. And it says in verse 9, and she gave the king 120 talents of gold, spices in great abundance, and precious stones. There never were any spices such as those the queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. And she blessed him out of the treasury of her house and out of her kingdom. But have a look at verse 12. Now King Solomon gave to the queen of Sheba all she desired, whatever she asked, much more than she had brought to the king. So she turned and went to her own country, she and her servants. You cannot outgive God. And this has got very little to do with finance. This has got to do with your heart, with your life, with your calling, with the anointing upon your life, and something a little to do with finance. So don't worry, we're not after your money. This has got nothing to do with money. It's got to do with ministry. Ministry is really the delivery of the treasury of your life. That's what it is. And when we ordain people into ministry, we are ordaining them and recognizing the call of God upon their lives, that they may live for something bigger than themselves. They are not in this for what they can get out of it. They are in this for what they can deposit from their lives and from the gift of God into your life. Ministry is not what you can get out of it. It's what you give into it. And every one of you is called, not just this ministry team. That is the focus of our lives, the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, the mobilization, not just of Pastor Vaughn into the nations, but the mobilization of your life into the nations. I'm glad that went over so well. Let me say it again. I don't think you quite caught it. But it is the mobilization of your gift and life into the nations. Hallelujah. It is the full release of who you are meant to be to this generation. And so when you appear before God, Pastor Vaughn quoted this in his prayer or somewhere in his delivery this morning. He said, and up to half of my kingdom. When Queen Esther appeared before the king, he stretched out the scepter to her and he said, up to half of my kingdom. When we are in Christ and Christ is in us, we are not limited to half of the kingdom. Jesus said, all authority is given unto me. We become co-heirs together with him. In other words, we become full partakers of everything that is his. Amen. Hallelujah. A king may give you resource. Even King Solomon offered the queen of Sheba anything she desired. The king offered to Queen Esther half of his kingdom, which was the normal measure. that they would offer up to half of my kingdom. Because that way they would just, if you did them harm, they would go in and take it back. But they would give very generously, but God gives more. He gives all. He did not hold anything back when he gave us eternal life. He gave the best. Man was created to live in generosity. And that's why when God placed man in the garden, he said to him, all of this is yours, but this tree, don't partake of it. He wanted man to make sure that what was God's would always be God's. And so man was not meant to embrace that one thing. To me, it's the perfect picture of the tithe. All of it is yours, but make sure that this part belongs to God. Tithe was not law. It was not religious tradition imposed upon the church. It goes right back to the garden when God said to man, everything belongs to you, but make sure this part remains mine. And don't touch this, don't take this, because in that step of that simple step of obedience, there is abundance, prosperity, and blessing. As a result of partaking of that came disaster, death, sickness, poverty, is the result of the fall of Adam. Christ came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. The very nature of God is generosity, because God is the giver of every good and perfect gift. It is the very heart of God to give, not to take. He is a giver. And he wanted us to live in generosity. That's why when Israel went into the promised land, and as they were on their way to the promised land, God started preparing them for abundance. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 15. He wanted to prepare them for abundance. Deuteronomy chapter 15, and have a look at verse 7. He says, if there is any among you a poor man of your brethren within any of the gates in your land, which the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not harden your heart nor shut your hand from the poor brother, but you shall open your hand wide to him. Open your hand wide, generosity, and willingly lend him sufficient for his need, whatever he needs. Beware lest there be a wicked thought in your heart, saying, the seventh year, the year of release, is at hand, and your eye be evil against the poor brother, and you give him nothing, and he cry out to the Lord against you, and it becomes sin among you. Now notice, remember Jesus said, if your eye be single, your body be full of light. Do you know what that means? It means if you live generously, your life will be constantly illuminated, because you are living according to the creation purpose of God. Jesus came revealing the culture of the kingdom. And the culture of the kingdom is to live generously, because that's who God is. And as he is, so are we. It is natural for us to live generously. And it's foreign to live in darkness or stingingly. So he says, notice here the heart and the hand operate together. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The mouth and the heart are connected. But listen to this. The hand and the heart are also connected. What you believe in your heart is what you will do with your hand. What you believe with your heart is where you will go with your feet. Your feet, your hand, your mouth are directly connected to the heart. What you believe is what you speak. What you believe is what you do. And what you believe is where you go. You will never go out your way for another nation or for another soul unless your heart really believes it. That's why it's foreign for us as new creation citizens to live without a heart for the nations. Because it's the heart of God. And so what's in God's heart is in our heart, because as he is, so are we. And in other words, we become partakers of his nature, of his heart. So what's important to him becomes important to us. And he says, you shall surely give to him, and your heart should not be grieved when you give to him. Notice a hardened heart, a wicked heart, a grieved heart. Everything that is contrary to the generosity of God, when God gives, he is not giving grudgingly, but he gives cheerfully. And he wants us to give in the same way. That's why he says, do not serve the Lord your God, serve the Lord your God with joy and gladness. Because that is the way that we serve God, joyfully, cheerfully. That's the way we give to God, joyfully, cheerfully, because that's the way God gives to us. All ministry is to be done generously and cheerfully. Just like in the offering, it's offering time. People are meant to get excited because you're not being ripped off. You're not coming to the end of your miracle. You're coming to the beginning of your miracle. And you shouldn't be grieved in coming into your miracle. You should be excited about it. In the same way, ministry is never a burden. It is not some heavy weight being placed upon us, you ministers of God. I said, you ministers of God. God is not mobilizing you into misery. God is mobilizing you into joy. Jesus even embraced the cross with joy that was set before him. He endured the agony. There is agony, there is trial, there is suffering in ministry, there is cost. You can't embrace that in a sense of agony. Paul writes from prison, he says, rejoice in the Lord. To those outside, he was probably more joyful than they on the inside than they were on the outside. And he's saying, and in case you didn't quite get it or understand it, let me say it again. Let me amplify it for you. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Generosity in every area of life. Your heart should not be grieved when you give to him, because for this thing, the Lord your God will bless you in all your works and in all to which you put your hand. For the poor will never cease from the land. Therefore, I command you, saying, you shall open your hand wide to your brother. It was a commandment to them. Why? Because he wanted them to prosper. And if their heart and their hand was closed, he could not prosper them as he had intended. And he said, for this thing I'm commanding you. Amen. It was so important to them that he commanded generosity. Not because he wanted to rip them off of what was theirs, but so that he could give them more. How could they handle wealth and all the treasury of the land flowing with milk and honey if they were stingy in attitude? Amen, amen. If they were not generous in their very heart? In other words, what he would give them, they would just take it and hoard it rather than be a blessing to the nations, which was what he had always intended. That in being blessed, they would be a blessing. They would become a nation of hoarders and holders onto what they got, and they would be ripped off themselves. Yeah. And you see that in the heart of David when it came to the temple. He says, because I've set my affection on the house of my God, I have prepared for it an offering from my own treasury and from Israel. And he gave the equivalent of billions of dollars of gold, silver, wood, precious stones from his personal treasury, because he set his affection on the love of God. It's the love for God and the love of God within us that allows this generosity of life. I notice that God wants all ministry to be launched in generosity. And because of time, let me quickly bring this to an end. When Gideon was visited by the angel of the Lord, and he's greeted thus, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." After this encounter and the smallness of the wine press mentality is broken off his soul, the first thing Gideon says to the angel of the Lord is, "Please do not leave here until I go and prepare an offering for you." And the angel of the Lord, which is a pre-incarnation manifestation of Jesus, says, "I will stay." And he goes and he prepares a goat and a bowl of broth, the very thing he was trying to preserve. He comes and he pours it on the rock, and the angel of the Lord extends the staff that is in his hand, and fire falls and consumes it, and it appears before God as a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice. And he's gone. But his ministry is launched in generosity. God cannot use stingy ministers. You have to be a giver to be in the ministry, not a finance of your life and of your finance and of your time and of all that God puts through your life. That forgiven woman falls at the feet of Jesus and willingly ministers to Jesus 1 year's salary in one act of worship. Zacchaeus immediately pays restitution to anyone who he is harmed because he wants to launch his life into the kingdom purposes of God. He experiences the unconditional love of God, the acceptance of Jesus. And he's moved by this outward demonstration as Jesus makes a stand for him. He's so inspired. He says, "Whatever I've done that's ripped any man off, I will pay him back more." Why? Because all ministry is born in generosity. All ministry is born in generosity. The fishermen immediately leave their nets at the call of God. They didn't leave their nets. They left their inheritance, their livelihood, everything that made them what they were up to that point. They abandoned it freely for the call of God. Why? Because you cannot go into the ministry of Jesus holding on to what you have or what you were. That's why the rich young ruler had this confrontation, because his dependency was what he had. Not what God had. God had much more for him. He wasn't being ripped off when Jesus said, "Go give all that you have to the poor and follow me." He would not have been ripped off by God. Like the Queen of Sheba, when she gave, the king gave back more. If that rich young ruler had given, he would have got back much more. But he's dependency was in that because he was holding on, consuming, preserving. But the very nature of the kingdom is abandonment. All ministry is generosity abandoned. Open your hand wide. That's why it says, "Who can trust to you the true riches?" If you can't be wide-handed in mammon, unrighteous mammon, then how can you handle the power of God, the word of God, and the taking of nations? All ministry must be born in a generosity, an abandonment of everything that we are and everything that we have. This is not legalism. This is the very nature of God. You're not even paying back. If anything, you're paying it forward. We are not charged for salvation. It is the gift of God. It is the free gift of God. It may be free, but it's not cheap. For God so loved the world that he gave. The very nature of God is give. Christ, having loved the church, gave himself for it. It's the very nature of God. Generosity was best revealed in redemption's glory. When Jesus came and settled the debt he did not owe and paid a price that was not due to him. We owed it. He paid it. Generosity. That's why in the Sermon of the Mount, the teaching of kingdom attitudes, he said, if someone compel you to go 1 mile, go two. In other words, the very nature of kingdom attitude is generosity, going further than is required. If someone sue you for your tunic, give him your cloak also. Don't just give what is expected, give more. Give over and above. This is the nature of the kingdom. Love lives generously, not just gives generously, lives. It's not just a giving, it's a living. And that's why it is seen, having not loved their lives unto death. One man died for all, therefore all have died, that we who live should no longer live for ourselves, but for him. We're living generously into something bigger than ourselves. We want to win nations. We need to win this nation. The church must grow and expand and increase. It is the will of God that none should perish, but that all should have everlasting life. Every Christian is called to the responsibility of the harvest of this nation and the nations of the world. We cannot do that work in a stinging attitude, in a self-preserving attitude. It's got to be the abandoning of all. No doubt that's why you are making transition and abandonment. When people are trying to settle down, you are going in. Yeah. Why? Because that's the very heart of God. You will never go further than your love will take you. It's the law of the journey. The distance you will travel is the distance of your love. You can't go far for God if there's not a great love in your heart for God. You will only go as far as your love will take you. You will not go and win this neighborhood or go win the nations if this neighborhood and the nations are not in your heart. You will only go as far as your love will take you. You cannot live generously because unless your heart is engaged in this love, this appreciation of the cross, having been forgiven much, she loved much, or she gave much. The act of loving was demonstrated in giving. She gave much because she loved much, and that love was born in the appreciation of what he had done for her in the act of forgiveness. As also seen in Zacchaeus, having been accepted by Messiah, he now gives, immediately gives. Ministries will never be fruitful as takers. Some people may look fruitful on the outside as takers and consumers. The mafia look very successful. If you look at their lives and their vacation houses and their boats and their planes, you'll think they are highly prosperous and successful. Success cannot be measured as man would see it, because it is possible to be very wealthy on the outside but to be bankrupt of soul. And it is also possible to be very poor on the outside but to live generously for God and to be extremely wealthy. That's why it says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, but for yourself in heaven. It is possible that some people who look as if they are not successful are highly successful because they are living in the generosity of God. The Good Samaritan, and I have to cut it short, I can't read it for you, the priest and the Levite had just come from offering sacrifices to God. They were doing the religious thing on the outside, but their hearts were not shaped generously. That's why they would not go out their way for the man beaten and dine on the side of the road. The Samaritan, however, came living generously because he engaged himself in the suffering out of the compassion of heart. But it was not just compassion. That compassion was really the measure of his generosity because he bound up the wounds, he poured in and he poured out, he settled the account. He lived generously. And Jesus was saying, this is the nature of the kingdom. This is what my people look like. They live generously. What was he doing? Ministering. Ministry is generosity. It is sacrifice. It is the manifestation of a generous heart seen in the acts of the hands. God's calling every one of us to a higher level. Not just the ministry team today, but this entire church is to go higher in God. This whole church is to go further in God. You can't just send a team, you are sending yourself. When Pastor Vaughan goes to India and the teams go to India or go to the nations, it is not just them going, it is you going. It is this church going. Otherwise, you may feel that you are being ripped off, that Pastor Vaughan has been taken away from you. It is possible that you'd be grieved in this act today. But it's not an act that should bring about a grieving spirit. This is celebration because it is the very nature of God giving. He's giving himself to another nation and to another nations, islands, people, tribes, tongues. And not just he, but you. The release of your life into a new level of ministry will require of you greater levels of generosity, the giving of your life, the giving of your time. Certainly it is not about the money, because I know what you're getting. Like we say, the rewards are out of this world. So what you are doing is because of the love. This ministry team of pastors that we're going to acknowledge and pray for today, it is the generosity of the nature of God that is resident within them. These are not people on salaried positions. These are people who serve this congregation based on one thing, the call of God, which is based on the love of God. They have to live generously for you, but you have to live generously for them. Outside of these walls, the giving of your life for something bigger than yourself. We will not grow a great church in this neighborhood or take nations living with a budgeted life. Budget your money. Owe no man anything but love. You understand? Budget your money, but don't budget your life when it comes to God. Let's stand and pray. Lord God, in a few moments we'll be praying for the leadership team. But now, God, I want to pray for every member of this house and those that are visiting here today. That, God, their hearts would be shaped and molded and conformed to your image through the Word and by the Spirit, the sanctifying power of the blood of Jesus to break off the limitations of stinginess, the self preserving spirit that refuses to abandon itself into the will of God, takers and consumers. God, I break that off their lives today and release them into the nature of our God. That there'd be a heart transplant today. That, God, the hardened hearts would become soft, hearts of flesh, compassionate, kind, tender, and generous because they've been shaped by the Spirit of God. Touch your people, O God. Enlarge their capacity for this nation and for the nations of the world. Cause this church to grow daily as people are added because of the mobilizing of their lives into the will of God, the plan of God. I pray, God, your fresh anointing upon every soul here today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.